Well, I want to speak to you this morning out of John chapter 4, and I'm going to talk about DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And let me just tell you what Wikipedia says this is. You probably already know, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. In the United States, diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, are organizational frameworks that seek to promote the fair treatment of and full participation of all people, particularly groups who have historically been underrepresented or subject to discrimination based on identity and disability. Well, I said the church should have come up with DEI because we're diverse. We're diverse. How do I know we're diverse? Well, I'm about to read it to you. I'm going to get ahead of myself here, Tori, about two or three pages, so you just roll with me. In Revelation chapter 7, John says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number of," listen to me, "all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches in their hands." We're diversified. I like what Pastor Westlake said. When you got a church full of every race of people, Asians, brown people, black people, white people, it looks like the kingdom of God. We need to be diverse, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have to get out of the box. Amen. So the world has created this phrase, and I thought, well, you know what? The church should have created this because we are a diverse people. We're equitable, and God is equal. And he's inclusive for those people that say, well, you know, Christianity is an exclusive religion, for lack of a better term, because everybody says, well, you got to go through Jesus Christ. Well, that's true, but we're not exclusive. We're inclusive, because the Word of God says, whosoever will, let him come. There's no prerequisite. God doesn't have a legal pad full of stuff you got to get squared away before you can get saved. You just come just like you are. Billy Graham used to have an altar call, and every altar call they sang that song, "Just As I Am." Come just as you are. God died for you as you are. He doesn't need a personality change. He gave you that personality. Now, he might take the hatefulness out of you. Yeah, I said he might. Most of the time he does. But he created you fearfully and wonderfully, and he likes you just like you are. That's why he says, come as you are. Excuse me. In John chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, he left, this is Jesus, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. I love this sentence right here. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, or 12 noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." And for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with." Now, that's an interesting point. The Jews did not mind doing business with the Samaritans. Their problem with the Samaritans, because they're mixed race, they're not going to share food with them, and they're certainly not going to drink out of the same vessel. But Jesus is at the well. He does not have a vessel, and he asked her for a drink. That's why she responds, "What? Why are you asking me for a drink?" In other words, we both know that because I'm not kosher by your standard, you're not going to drink out of what I hand you. So, let me move forward. So, the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. And then, where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus said, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him or her will be become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband." Everything Jesus did was ethical. Everything he did was ethical. He guarded himself, and he said, "You go get your husband." First of all, he knew what was going on in her life. And I want to tell you that Jesus was 100% human being. He was the Son of God. God's blood was in his veins like it was in Adam's veins. And it was untainted. But Jesus was 100% man. And after the Holy Spirit came on him and led him in the wilderness and he was tempted, then he began to operate in the gifts. He did that through the Holy Spirit, just like you and I do it through the Holy Spirit. And that's why God could say to us, Jesus could say to us, that the things that I've done, greater things than these shall you do, because of the Holy Spirit. He did this. He operated in the word of knowledge through the Holy Spirit. And so I hope that doesn't shake your theology too bad, but it's the way it is. And so so he says, "Go get your husband and come, and then come again. Come again." So she says to him, the woman answers, said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said, you've well said, or you've answered correctly, "I have no husband, for you've had five husbands." It sounds a little like our day and time, doesn't it? There's not much difference between this story and in 2025. I know people, I've had musician friends, they're on their fourth marriage. Nothing uncommon about that. Not in that business for sure. "You've had five husbands, and the one that you, whom you now have is not your husband." In other words, you're just shacked up with this guy. "In that you spoke correctly." And the woman said, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. And our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." Thank you, sir. "And you worship what you do not know, and we know that we worship for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit." There was a mountain there that this woman was talking about where the Samaritans had built a temple because they were not allowed to worship in the temple at Jerusalem. And so Jesus goes by and sees this woman. And you talk about diverse people. This woman was diverse, or diverse, how you pronounce it. And so, but God is a God of inclusion, amen? And so, and he's also a God of equity. And so that just means we don't all start at the same station in life. And you may have had an incredible childhood, and you may have had a childhood that was full of abuse, and you're still dealing with the inner child of the past. It haunts a lot of people. A lot of people that have been saved for years are dealing with the inner child of the past. But I'm here to tell you, and you know, Susie had a word a moment ago, and I've had this word ringing in my ear since last Sunday, and that is restoration. And all, how was it you said that? Just stand and tell everybody what you said. Isn't that good? So we fragment our lives. We make choices that have consequences. This woman's been married 5 times. I don't know all the circumstance. We have no detail on that. I don't know if it's divorce, they died, combination of both. Who knows? But I love the sentence where it said that Jesus needed to go through Samaria. This was not a geographical shortcut. It was an intentional thing because of an unction of the Holy Spirit. How many remember that word? We had some of that going on here this morning. We have an unction. We don't know which way to go. We're trying to stay out of the way of the Holy Spirit. And God leads us into a moment of a time of prayer, and that's an unction of the Holy Spirit. He that hath an ear, the Bible says, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We need to be attentive to the Holy Spirit. He had a need to go through there because no one was willing to take the gospel to the Samaritans. You know what? Here's what Jesus' problem was with everybody that judged him. The Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, the hierarchy of the church, they hated his guts for more than one reason, but the biggest reason is he ate with sinners, he ate with Republicans, whoops, and he was hanging out with bad people. He was in the marketplace, and they couldn't stand it. They had gotten so holy and so righteous. They'd put on so much glamour and robes and adorned themselves and strutted around like banny roosters to where it was like, look at us, we're the holy people. And Jesus is down in there rooting and grubbing in the people that don't have nothing to do with God, don't understand anything about God, have never heard about God. And this woman who realizes, according to the Jewish nation, she's a reject. A horrible feeling to be rejected. And so Jesus goes by there, sits at the well that Jacob dug, and begins to minister to her and ask her for a drink of water, which was a curveball. Why are you asking me for water? And I think I've covered that. But we both know, if I come up out of that well with a vessel of water, you're not drinking out of it. However, I would say in reality, if nobody was looking and you were a Jew and that's the only way you could get a drink of water and you hadn't drank all day, I'll bet you a nickel to a donut, as my dad used to say, you'd suck that jug dry because they were hypocrites. They talked out of both sides of their mouth. So when the rubber hit the road and Jesus came and he called them out on it, they couldn't stand it even all the more. So she runs into town and she tells the men of the city, there is a man out here that has told me everything that's ever went on in my life, and could it be that this is the Messiah? So they go out there, and Jesus begins to talk to him. But I love the fact that he needed to go through there. As I said, he had an unction of the Holy Spirit because this woman's life is broken. It's mixed. It's messed up. She's of a mixed race group of people. And that's a showstopper for a lot of folks, especially where I come from. That's a showstopper. So she's mixed race. And it sounds a lot like our culture, but anyway, Jesus went by there to minister to her. There was a need in Samaria, and Jesus needed to hear about the gospel of Jesus. And so Jesus went there and began to minister to them. Now, I love the fact that he's sensitive to the needs of other people. That is at the top of the list for a disciple of Jesus Christ. Are you sensitive to the needs of other people? You're not the only dog in the hunt. I'm not the only dog in the hunt. There's other people that you don't know what walks through that door. You don't know what's going on in their life and in their home. You don't know what in the world has happened or what event took place for them just to try to get to the house of God. And ladies and gentlemen, if we'll get full of the Holy Spirit, we will learn to be sensitive to what God has said, and we'll look and say, oh my God, there's somebody. How you doing this morning? God bless you. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you for coming. Hallelujah. I love going in a church I've never been to before, and people from all quarters of that auditorium walk up. How you doing? God bless you. And yeah, y'all live here? No, we're from Kansas City. Oh, well, my God, thank you for being here this morning. That's how it happened to us in Daphne, Alabama this year, back in the spring, or last June, I guess. Went to the Church of His Presence, Brother Kilpatrick, and people just come in here from everywhere shaking hands with, oh, you came here on your vacation? I said, yeah. Yeah, we wanted to be in church. We love this church. Love this pastor. Amen. Friendly folks. So it's called ministry. Jesus knows she's of a different race. That doesn't bother him. He knows that she has questionable morals. Doesn't bother him. Remember the woman that they said they caught in the act of adultery. Phew. I got to watch my mouth. I was wondering if they caught her in the act of adultery. What are these perverts doing? I'm sorry. You got a spyglass in the side of the building? We caught her in the act. Drug her down to Jesus' feet. She's probably half-dressed, ragged-looking, crying, snot rolling, messed up, scared to death. She's fixing to die. I don't know what happened to the guy. Because according to Moses, they're both supposed to be stoned to death. But, you know, that's another story. And they throw her down, and they begin to accuse her. And Jesus says the wisest thing I think I've ever heard. Well, I got an idea. If there's anybody here that doesn't have any sin, here's a bucket full of rocks. Start throwing stones. And the Bible said one by one they began to slip away from there. Well, I can't do that because I was doing the same thing last week. Whoops. So they eased on out of there until they're all gone. And he wrote a few things down in the sand. I imagine he was writing down some things that were in their life. Oh, could we get over the self-righteous and realize that God is into diversity, and not everybody that walks in this door is going to be raised in an Assemblies of God church. There's going to be people that come in here that might have long hair, earrings, tattooed up, you name it. In this culture, they'll come in here, but they need Jesus, and they'll find him here. So Jesus said, well, where's your accusers at? Well, they've all gone. He said, neither do I condemn thee. But he did end it in this phrase, go your way and sin no more. Don't fall back into what you just got delivered out of. Amen? So Jesus was breaking the mold of religious tradition. And I think in this day and hour, if we can get out of that religious tradition. Well, you know, Aunt Gladys always done it like this. And Uncle Joe would always do this. Well, that was incredible for that day. But it's a new day. Same Holy Ghost, new day. New issues, new folks. And we're going to have to get out of the religious mold of saying, well, you know, we're going to get up here and do a few songs, and we're going to sing and pick and carry on, and then we're going to take an offering, and we're going to preach a little bit and shake hands and go home. And then all of a sudden one day, like this morning, the Holy Spirit gets involved and begins to intervene. It's like, well, hold on a second, because everybody up here knows, and the leadership knows, we have a basic format that we follow. However, if the Holy Spirit gets involved, let's get out of His way. Let's throw the piece of paper out the door. Let's let God arise and His enemies be scattered and things broken off of people's lives. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And he fell off of there and broke himself. And I'm thinking, well, if you had bad balance, you shouldn't have got on the wall. But he did. And all of the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put him back together again. And I liken that unto me, because my life was broken, fractured, and all of the stuff I had surrounding me that I thought were kings could not put me back together again. But I ran into somebody that could put it all back together. Mold it back together like it was never broken. Hey, I'm talking to somebody here. God will put it back together. I don't care how broken you are. I was down at the Callahan's one time a few years ago before Brother Callahan passed away, and we went through there to visit. And he and I slipped out the back door. They had a big slider door in their living room, and they had a pen out there. They had horses in it one time, and a round pen and barn and stuff. We were walking out there, and as we got up to the fence, I saw a tree that was broken. It was a pear tree, and it was about that big around, and it was broken. The trunk was broken, and it was over here on the ground. But the branches were, these little old branches were reaching toward heaven, and they were full of blossoms. And I said, tell me about this tree right here. He said, well, a storm blew it down. And he said, I came out here about a year ago. I was going to cut it up and do away with it. And it was in full bloom. Man, he said, the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. As broken as that tree was, still doing what God designed it to do. Still doing what God spoke into its DNA. You be fruitful and you multiply. And I'm here today to tell you, in your brokenness, God could not only restore you, but you'll bear fruit. You'll be a vessel of honor. I don't care how broken you get. God can put it back together. Why? Because He deals in diversity. You can't go too far and stay too long. I used to say that, but I've changed my mind. I guess if you died in sin or the Lord came and you missed the rapture, that might be one thing. But I think if you say you can go too far and you can go too long and you sin away your dagger, I really think you put a limit on the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe that God can do anything. If you'll just let Him, He'll fix the broken pieces. He'll mold you, put you back together again, restore you, and make you a vessel of honor. And He'll put you up on the shelf. And when He needs something special, He's liable to go over there and just say, oh, right here, I got it right here. Here's a Lonnie Ziegler. I got a job for you, boy. Whew. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. It's a new day. It's a new generation of people. Jesus was sensitive and became a friend to this woman. I'm going to tell you something. The greatest way you'll win the lost is win people to you. When you befriend people, Christianity has such a bad taste in some people's mouths. It just has a bad taste because they've been preached to and talked to, and nobody ever got down at their level and just said, how's it going today? Could you get me a drink of water? He didn't go in there and start judging her. He didn't even judge her when she said, "Oh, I don't have a husband." He just said, "Yeah, I know." Basically, that's what he said. "I know." He said, "You've had five." Well, she knows. There's no way this guy can know that. I've never seen him before in my life. And that's how the Holy Spirit operates. He'll take somebody you've never met, and that person could read. He can almost tell you what your water bill was last month. That's called the word of knowledge. You know what that does? That's not to show out or make that man or that woman with that gift look amazing to you. Some people get in awe of the people. No, be in awe of God. But I'll tell you what that does. That increases faith. Because if you run into a complete stranger and they say, you know, they begin to read your mail. And you say, "Oh my God, nobody. My wife didn't even know that." And they read your mail, brother. I'm going to tell you something. That's when God gets a hold of you and you can realize there's a God in heaven that's still on the throne. And he still is dealing with people, and he still is restoring people, and he's still a DEI God. He's all about diversity, he's all about equity and equality, and he is all about inclusion. I love that, don't you? That should be the church's phrase. Hallelujah. So, Jesus gave time and energy to relationships. That's how he built a great following that's still alive today. Started with 120 people in an upper room that got filled with the Holy Ghost, and the church was born. The devil's done everything he can do in 2,000 plus years to stomp it out. But it's greater and bigger and better than it's ever been. And it's going to be a glorious church when Jesus comes after it. And I just read to you in Revelation where John said, "I saw a group of people coming in that no one could number." No one. When I was a boy, we would talk about, "Oh, that guy's a millionaire." And a million just seemed like, you know, I'm talking about back when you had $5. Some of you guys remember you had $5, you had a pocket full of money. Because it would actually buy something. And then we've moved out of the millions into the billions, and now we're talking about trillions. And our nation's, what, 36, 37 trillion in debt. And because of bad management. It's the only word for it. Jesus gave time and energy to relationships. And even if they were Gentiles and not Jews, he was sensitive. He was attentive. No matter their culture, their ethnicity, the denomination, it didn't make any difference to him where they come from, what their deal was. He dealt with every issue of life. The woman that came to him and touched his hem and said, I know if I can just touch a piece of his garment, I'll be made whole. Had great faith. Jesus turns and begins to deal with that. And he says to her, she's a Gentile. And he says to her, "It's not meet to give the children's bread to the dogs," because they were considered dogs. Like this Samaritan woman. Actually, she's half Samaritan, half Jewish. But that's still enough for the Jews to reject her. And Jesus turned to that woman that touched him and he said, "You know what? I'm not supposed to be doing this. And I'm not supposed to be giving the children's bread to the dogs." And she said, "Sir, even the dogs will eat the crumbs off the master's table." That touched him. That touched him. And for 12 long years, she had an issue of blood. She got up and went home healed. Everything about her was wrong. She's not even supposed to be out of her house because she's unclean. She certainly is not supposed to touch anybody, and nobody's supposed to touch her. Read Leviticus, and you'll find out. But she said, "If I can get a hold of him." Faith unlocks things. Hallelujah. This story is a great example to you and I, and how to act, how to conduct ourselves, how to work fervently to win the lost, especially in these last days. Jesus began to read her mail, tells her to call her husband, said as soon as she comes clean with God. Let me tell you something, all it takes is for you and I to get clean with God. He already knows. So all you got to do is just get honest. You're really getting honest with yourself. You just get honest with yourself. God, yes, yeah. You know me, and I'm confessing. I'm confessing me. And it's a long list, and God knows it's a long list, but the Bible said he'll wash it away like it never happened. Don't you love that? Hallelujah. I want to drop down to verses 28 through 30 and read some of this. Then I'll close. Thank you for bearing with me. Verse 28 said, the woman then left her water pot. So collecting water wasn't important anymore. She went her way into the city and said to the men, come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. And verse 39 says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. Now, doesn't that confirm what John said in Revelation when he sees this church marching in and he declares by the Spirit of the Lord, this group of people that survived everything that they went through on earth overcame by the blood of the Lamb, number one. Number two, by what else? What was it? The word of their testimony. Say this with me. My testimony is important. When I say what God has done for me, it has a positive effect on the ears that hear it. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. So they came out and they believed in him because what the woman told them. She went in and told them, "This we've not seen this guy before. He's a stranger. He's a Jew. And he read my mail. He told me I'd been married five times. He told me I was living with a guy." And she conveyed that before they ever got back out there. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Now let me just finish this. 41 says, and many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said for ourselves. We heard what you said, but because we have heard him. You know, when you hear the truth, you'll know it. When you hear the truth, you'll know it. And how many know he is the way and the truth and the life? Amen. So now we believe, not just because of what you said. He should have put a just in there. Not just because of what you said, but for ourselves we've heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. God is a mighty God. He's a powerful God. He knows right where you are. He knows right what you're going through. He doesn't care what your race is. Doesn't matter to him. He created you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm believing you, Lord. I'm believing you, Lord. I'm believing you, Lord. We got time this morning. Lift up your voice. Lift up your hand. Just lift up your voice like Bartimaeus. Cry out, Lord, I'm desperate. I don't want to leave the same way that I came. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Go ahead. Let go and let God bless you this morning. Let Him touch you and help you. Pray while you have the opportunity to pray. Glory, 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 glory. Yes, yes, yes. God's helping folks. Hallelujah. You could be the key to somebody around you. Let Him help you today. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, you see and you know. Oh, God, and you're well able. You're well able, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I'm in need. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his troubles. Would you do me a favor this morning? I want you ladies to gather together right over here. I want you men to step over here. I'm just obeying the Lord this morning. I've been pastoring the same church, I told you, for 30 years. I have never in my life seen the enemy attacking like he is right now. What does that tell me, brothers? That tells me that the coming of the Lord is so near and upon us. Hear me. You need to remember that if you miss the rapture, you miss the rapture of the church, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? You miss the rapture, you won't be able to buy or sell without taking the mark of the beast. Now, what is the mark? It's going to be placed in the right hand or on the forehead. Right now, every one of us, carries an identity. You go into Walmart, you can pay with your phone. I go to board an airplane, I just swipe my phone. It is so close. But what's happening? We have this thing called identity theft. Right now, they're trying it. Right now, right outside of Dallas, they're trying it. They're putting a chip in the hand so that when somebody comes in by way of ambulance, they can scan over that chip and it tells them who they are, what they're allergic to. Are you hearing me? We are that close to the trumpet sounding. We are that close to the mark of the beast being set up. Now listen, if you miss the trumpet, don't you take the mark of the beast. Because those who take the mark of the beast are eternally damned. But here's what you need to do. You need to make up your mind right now that you're not going to miss the trumpet. You're going to go out with the trumpet and the saints of God. Hallelujah. If you can't live for the Lord right now while the church and the Spirit of God is here pulling, how are you going to live when the Antichrist is set up? The Spirit of the Antichrist is already working right now. You hear me? We are on the verge. That's why we've got to get desperate about getting men and women in. Hallelujah. That's why you got to have your mind made up. I don't care who says what. I'm not going to be deterred from being what God has called me to be. Right now, you need to pray. You need to pray one for another. Pray that God would help. Pray, sisters, pray. Brother, you pray for that brother beside you. Pray one for another. Hallelujah. Lord, don't let me fail. Lord, don't let me fail. I cannot afford to miss that day for which all other days was created. For the trumpet is about to sound. Oh, God, help us this morning. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Lord, give me a desperation for souls.